Hello, this is the Moonfest Destiny podcast, number 23. Moonfest Destiny is a novel I wrote back in 1991. The subtitle is The Rough and Ready Balloon Invasion of the Lunar Peninsula of Texas. If this is the first time you're listening, please go back and start with episode 1. I will now read Chapter 22. General Jackson rides his balloon to the Texas moon. All of us slowpokes were wondering, so flea-biting curious, what message did Sam Walker bring our Major Brown from old Rough and Ready? What was so important as to justify the Flying Rangers to try to run their balloons through the siege lines, risking getting their silk skewered by a lunar lance? Bob Rawlings, a Company A Chicken Hawk, claimed that President Polk was recalling Tyler back to Washington City in order to keep the Whigs from putting a hero on their platform in 48. And since they were too chicken to put my man Harry Clay on the ticket, they'd probably stick another Peter Barnum clown on it. If this rumor was true, said Half-Lip McCoy, why, they'd have to make peace. They can't just leave us here and balloon us back home by Christmas after all, with our tail between our legs. Listen, they steam Andy Jackson up here to straighten out them lunars. Hardly had the name of the bank slayer left his lip when all we crawdads jumped up a-hoopin' and a-hollerin', "Hooray for Jackson! Jackson's on his way, boys! Jackson's a-comin' to the P of T!" We made so much Jackson racket, rivaling General Lunarista's banging and bursting little howitzer shells, that pretty soon the entire population of the bomb-proof believed that, like an angry, gin-swilling, plain-talking angel, old man Jackson was due any minute to swoop down in his steam balloon and deliver us out of the grips of 5,000 mean little moon men. So it became necessary for Major Brown to send Captain Walker down to us to explain it wasn't so, and furthermore to explain exactly what was so. We admired the famous ranger, restlessly pacing to and fro in the underground gallery, fiddling with a wooden nickel, unhappy to be so cooped up, claustrophobic, nervously discharging smoke from his long-stemmed clay pipe, like a Vanderbilt line balloon steamer. He called out, "Cotton balers of the 7th, I salute your coyote gumption under adversity." And he saluted us. "Major Brown will see you fellers through this siege. General Taylor asked me to have a little look-see around this here Fort Texas, and I see you all doing just dandy, even if y'all are hid like prairie dogs from a passing herd of buffalo. That's good, 'cause the general asked me to tell Major Brown that it'd be 2, 3, 4 more days before it can get all his chuck wagons loaded up at Architas Crater, and Fort Polk there built up as fine and strong as this here one." At this unhappy news, we all groaned, and some doughboys cried out, "Where's Jackson? We want Andy Jackson." Sam Walker chuckled at this and relax a little. He hooked his thumbs in his turquoise and silver belt. "Say, what about old Hickory? He's gone now. But boys, I tell y'all, I still hear General Jackson shouting, 'All the moon!' with more grunt and gristle than a corn-fed king bull-smelling filly cow. The whole bull herd smells filly cows. But first they gotta break a fence. And behind that they gotta cross a shallow creek. You could call that fence Congress, and you could call that creek the Mayor Frigoris. There ain't nothing gonna stop that King Bull from leading the herd through that fence and cross that creek. I tell y'all, them filly cows are destined to have calves, calves branded the Stars of Old Glory. So you boys just sit tight, knowing you're doing Andy's good work for him. And you know, you're giving them scaredy cats of Congress conniption fits. Like old man Adams, that old fossil, who keeps banging that cheap and tawdry manumissionist tambourine?" He chuckled over this war that was giving the manumissionists such a ribbing. We chuckled too. Of course, to be fair, Adam tried to buy Texas from the Mooners when he was president, just like Jackson. So give the devil his due, he added. If the Mooners had let go of Texas, there wouldn't be no war now. But there was a hissing that broke louder and louder through our chuckling as Prince President Franklin Stove puffed out a little white cloud of steam. Tick, tick. With all due alacrity, I will now endeavor to plow in that manure of truth in order that a crop of good cotton blossoms will restore the modest gown of virtue to the naked, tick, brazen, tick, audacity of our goddess, tick, liberty, spake the metal man with eyes a-burning, with a gray whippoorwill, feathery flutter. We were all, even Sam Walker, shocked and surprised by this scalding tone that cooked to cinders the bones we were gnawing on, the one that Andy Jackson tossed out to us. Tick, the moon must be the peninsula of the P of T. In order for the consistent logic of mechanics of destiny to conclude that the golden shores of Venus are destined to become the west coast of Virginia. Hold it right thar, my metal amigo, called Sam Walker, lifting his gnarled paw to shade his sight from the dizzling gray ambiguities of the automaton's glass eyes. Only the most yeller-bellied stink-bug of a foreign-born stumper on bended knee before a Yankee penny press could chirp such a blue jay cock-a-doodle-noodle of wriggling wiggery. This here Texas crescent has got nothing to do with wrestling Venus from the weak little grip of the Mooners, if there's wrestling to do. Them is two different animals. Texas now, she earned her independence fair and square, just like the original 13 colonies. Just a little bit later, not in 1776, but 1836. Shoot, has 10 years gone by so fast? Sure, we was a moon state once, but we parted company fair and square and legal even, because a scoundrel named Lunaristo Bustamante busted up the Federal Compact. Matter of fact, it was the Federal Flag of the Moon that Crockett, Bowie, and the gang fought and died under at the glorious defense of the Alamo. Once Bustamante busted up the Mooner Constitution, well, we Lone Star citizens decided we protect our rights by independence. Imagine if Andy Jackson had tossed the immortal Constitution out the White House window without even a howdy-do to Congress. I bet them Hartford conventioneering states would have left the Union right quick. That's just what Texas did. She liberated herself from the moon. And now it's only fair we liberate the rest of the moon and civilize her while we's at it. Now, Andy Jackson, he always defended the Constitution as he understood it. And if he ever misunderstood a little clause or tiny phrase, well, it was for the sake of the common man, which is why I, for one, will not tolerate anyone saying anything dirty about Andy Jackson. We cheered. May I say something, Captain, called Sarah. Captain Walker gallantly bowed, sweeping off his hat. Sarah rolled up the sleeves of her dress and raised her long arms. Boys, some of you knows me better than others, but you all know me, and know that I love the cotton balers, and know how proud of y'all I am. But do you know why? 'Cause, boys, there's work to be done, and we cotton balers is the ones who's got to do it. See now, boys, we lives in times of big doings. Destiny lies all sort of hunched over, like a bullfrog ready to pounce on a pretty dragonfly. I say, heck, let's pounce while the pouncing's good. 'Cause if and we don't, Some mean old snapping turtle will snap up that dragonfly. You know they will. They want to do it, those nasty old world snapping turtles. And they will do it, too, lessen we pounce first. So I say, let's pounce. Well, the pouncing's good. That's all. She curtsied and then asked, let me have a puff of your pipe there, Sam. And puff, puff, puffed away like a Lowell shirt manufactory. Bullseye, agreed Sam Walker, smashing his hat back on. The moon is just sitting and waiting to be snatched up. She's a plum on her thumb, boys. They're backward and weak and full of engines. That's why them great Deimos agents is plotting and scheming to steal Venus. She's easy pickings, like visiting a widow with 7 purty daughters. All them bandy-legged aristocrats of Mars say they get Venus, 'cause the lunars owe them so much gold. I tell y'all, not just John Bull wants it. Nope, they all do. Why, even the Martian Tsar's got a fort on that golden orb. Though I hear tell he sold it to a sly Yankee. I tell y'all, not one of us, not even old man Adams, wants a monarch putting any more colonies anywhere in our inner spheres. Sarah gave him back his pipe, and he sucked on the long, gray stem, thinking. He added, I say, if we love one of them widow's purty daughters, heck and tarnation, let's marry her. That widow can't take care of 7 daughters alone. That widow's too weak and sick and crazy in the head. She needs help from a kind, civilized gentleman. One that goes by the name of Yankee Doodle. We tossed our kepis, jumped up and cheered wildly. All the moon! 5440 or fight! Venus or bust! To the Seminoles, like the Cossack to the Poles! The moon or death! Hooray for Jackson! We cheered and cheered as the shells burst nastily above. Sam Walker stood proudly, smiling and nodding, his hand in his coat like Napoleon. Sarah lifted her straw hat and turned a jig, slapping her ankles, jingling her jewelry, dropping an ace of hearts from her apron as she howled, woo, 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 like a lobo. PPFS tried to speak, but Sarah told him, hush up a minute, will you, Professor? Sam ain't finished. From his stovepipe, black smoke started puffing blacker and smokier. You do understand, smiled the ranger, pointing his pipe like a Colt repeater. He made gubby faces, blowing happy smoke rings at us. As the smoke rings wobbled outward, they interlocked in a murky chain. Say, I see a spirit, said Sarah, in a hushed, feverish tone, her eyes afire. What's that spirit? I ain't talking about corn spirits either. No, sir, why? Why, yes, it's the spirit of 76. No, Sarah, cried Sam Walker. It's the spirit of 36. Again we cheered wildly. Sarah led us into Yankee Doodle went to town a-riding on a pony, bobbing up and down to the beat of the song. A music sitting nearby picked up his glockenspiel and tinkled out the tune. We had a good old Yankee Doodling time, keeping it up until the automaton had raised enough boiler pressure. Like a 4th of July firework, a great hiss of steam and lurid, lit cloud of coke smoke advertised in dramatic fashion the loud, shrill words, words both unwelcome and unpleasant, concerning a most dreaded subject. Thank you for listening. Okay, I want to talk a little about Andrew Jackson. If you've ever seen a $20 bill, he's on the front. Born 1767. Died 1845. So he died less than a year before the events of this story. From Wikipedia, he was the 7th president of the United States. His presidency lasted from 1829 to 1837. Based in Frontier, Tennessee, Jackson was a politician and army general who defeated the Creek Indians at the Battle of Horseshoe Bend, 1814, and the British at the Battle of New Orleans, 1815, a polarizing figure who dominated the second party system in the 1820s and 30s. As president, he dismantled the Second Bank of the United States and initiated ethnic cleansing and forced relocation of Native American tribes from the southeast to west of the Mississippi River. His enthusiastic followers created the modern Democratic Party. The 1830-1850 period later became known as the era of Jacksonian democracy. Jackson was nicknamed Old Hickory because of his toughness and aggressive personality. He fought in duels, some fatal to his opponents. He was a wealthy slaveholder. He fought politically against what he denounced as a closed, undemocratic aristocracy, adding to his appeal to common citizens. He expanded the spoils system during his presidency to strengthen his political base. Elected president in 1828, Jackson supported a small and limited federal government. He strengthened the power of the presidency, which he saw as spokesman for the entire population. He was supportive of states' rights, but during the nullification crisis declared that states do not have the right to nullify federal laws. Strongly against the National Bank, he vetoed the renewal of its charter and ensured its collapse. Whigs and moralists denounced his aggressive enforcement of the Indian Removal Act, which resulted in the forced relocation of thousands of Native Americans to Indian Territory, now Oklahoma. Historians acknowledge his protection of popular democracy and individual liberty for United States citizens and criticize him for his support of slavery and his role in Indian removal. What I really appreciate in that short account of Andrew Jackson from Wikipedia, the complication of these issues, the complications in Manifest Destiny, similar. Now, he was the 7th president of the United States, and he died right before the Mexican War started. The chapter also mentions John Quincy Adams. He was the 6th president of the United States right before Jackson. John Quincy Adams, born 1767, died 1848. From Massachusetts. He was one of, I believe, 2 presidents who served in Congress after serving his term as president. And he contrasts wonderfully with Jackson. So as an elder man, Adams quickly became an important anti-slavery voice in Congress. Quoting from Wikipedia, in 1836, Southern congressmen voted in a rule called the Gag Rule that called for the immediate tabling of any petitions about slavery. Adams became a forceful opponent of this and almost got himself censured over his opposition to it. He turned the debate on his proposed censure into a 2-week-long attack on slavery. Later, he led a committee that sought to reform Congress's rules, and he used this opportunity to try to repeal the gag rule outright. He spent 2 months building support. His opposition to slavery made him, along with Henry Clay, one of the leading opponents of Texas annexation in the Mexican-American War. He predicted correctly that these would both help lead to civil war. After one of his re-election victories, he said that he must bring about a day prophesied when slavery and war shall be banished from the face of the earth. He prided himself on being obnoxious to the slave faction. These two unrelenting forces, Adams and Jackson, fascinating. And there's photographs of them as elder statesmen. You could see their character etched on their face. Okay, we just heard Sam Walker and Sarah put Manifest Destiny in common terms. In the next chapter, the metal man will give voice to a little piece that they left out. Thank you for listening. please consider picking this novel up for 99 cents on Kindle. Manifest Destiny by Peter Gelman.